If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Lord, our trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without your aid, grant us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments, we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany is recorded in the fifth chapter of 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little maiden from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the maiden from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 festal garments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill, to make alive? And this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking to quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he said to the king, saying, "Why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Adamah and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much rather, then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord.
From the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1. A leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And he sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to the people." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you. Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
What we really need in the church is more miracles. That would really do it, wouldn't it? More miracles like Jesus performed. Why, if we had a miracle a week, we would have the churches packed. And we wouldn't have to worry about needing budgets or church growth principles or anything else. Just a miracle a week would do it. It's just that simple and just that easy. Right? You know the answer is wrong. That is not what we are about. But some would argue, didn't Jesus do miracles? Why, we just heard about a miracle in the gospel for today. And we heard about miracles in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament reading for us this morning. Why not miracles in the age and time which we live? We look to the New Testament. We discover that Jesus indeed did miracles. But they were miracles, as St. John would remind us, to be signs. Signs give information. Signs point. And the signs were all seen in the work of Jesus. Go and tell John what to see and hear. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel, the good news preached to them. So a leper is cleansed in today's gospel. I would have you note that he was cleansed. And if you search diligently through the New Testament, you will discover that lepers are not healed. They are always cleansed. They are always made clean. That's what Jesus came to do, to make us clean, to cure us in a way that is beyond our understanding, to cleanse and make us whole once again, that we might be declared before the Heavenly Father, pure and cleansed and made right with God. That cleansing, we know, happened in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he shed his blood for us, that we might be made free and clean and whole once again. And that's why he rose in the third day. Rose that by that action he might say once and for all, his work had been accepted by the Heavenly Father. We are made clean in and through his blood. Indeed, it would appear that sometimes the miracles of Jesus almost got in the way. And today's gospel is an example. After he cleansed the leper, there was such a crush and crowd of people that Jesus couldn't even go openly in and out of the villages anymore. They were curiosity seekers. They were people who wanted cleansing. They were people who wanted miracle cures. And if Jesus had come to be just that sort of miracle worker, just that sort of healer, then he could have set up a practice. Dr. Jesus and associates might have done it, but he didn't do that. He came to die and to rise and to commission us to proclaim that good news to every creature. Indeed, that's the job incumbent upon us. That's the job incumbent upon the church, to get that good news of God out, that the gospel might be applied to every human condition. That gospel gets applied this morning as we read it. That gospel gets applied to us in the very real form, the tangible form of bread and wine, his body and blood, as he commands it. As God, by that action, this morning, makes us clean. And I suppose if we want to be very honest about it, maybe we have to say, we've got a miracle a week. It's going on all the time. And the real miracle is God's love and grace and forgiveness for us. That miracle that God wants us with him. And that's the miracle that God commissions us to proclaim. God grant that this day we more seriously assume that task and responsibility. But more than that, that not only in seeing our job, we also have that wonderful healing applied to our lives. That God would heal us this day by his word, by his blessed coming in bread and wine, his body and blood. Heal and make us whole. God, that grant that for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rise for the creed.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I now believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, your church anticipates the transfiguration of her bridegroom, Jesus Christ, with joyful perseverance to the hope which is in us. Transfigure her in the truth of your holy faith. Manifest her in the unity of your love and strengthen her by the free gift of your grace offered to all men by your word and sacrament. Lord, in your mercy, you have sent your Spirit into our hearts that men may live in justice and freedom. We ask that your wisdom would guide all world leaders towards peace, so that the entire earth would be consecrated by the proclamation of your coming kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, mercifully, Father, you do not cause affliction or grief in this world without the purpose of bringing us closer to you and to each other. Give healing to all who are sick. Comfort the dying. Bring companionship to the lonely and strengthen the weak and aged, that men may draw closer together around you as the source of all mercy and relief. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the variety of parishes and the diversity of peoples which are the one body of Christ. Pour out the manifold gifts of your Spirit upon your children, that the worship of each congregation would be a true source of spiritual vitality wherever your word is rightly preached and your sacraments are properly administered. Lord, in your mercy, you are the origin of man's knowledge, the depth of his wisdom, and the strength of his reason. Bring all who teach and all who learn at colleges and seminaries to the surety that your word is eternal truth and the mysteries of your world are unbounded. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, look upon our new president with grace as he assumes the office of overseeing the synod. Direct him with the humility of your love and the patience of your mercy, that we may have a shepherd to care for your flock, and his diligence and sincerity to the gospel would allow no issue to be a stumbling to the unity of faith which we hold together. Lord, in your mercy, we remember all who have loved and served you in the church on earth, having gone before us with the sign of faith and are now at peace. We ask that you would grant us grace in their fellowship and life in your kingdom at the end time, when you shall come to judge both the living and the dead. Lord, in your mercy,
into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we praise you that you sent your only begotten Son, that in him being found in fashion as a man, you manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
children of men, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that he may establish in us a living faith, and prepare us joyfully to remember our Redeemer, and receive him who comes to us in his body and blood. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and the blood of our Lord, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace.
Of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.